Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sensitive area around Eric, but I wanted to ask you, or tell you and get your reaction. I think J.J. Watt is really good.
Me too.
Do you?
Yes.
I liked him a lot. That means that we listen to the TV broadcast.
Oh, awkward now. I know.
Because to listen to the radio broadcast and watch TV means I'm two plays apart. We've been down this road. Don't need to start a whole thing. But I like J.J. Watt.
Here comes the lecture. Eric's going to tell us, like, my family, they do it. They try, you know, my friends, people who care about me will make the effort to sync it up, but we can't be bothered.
That's right. Yeah. Not at home.
Those that support me, yes.
Right. I'm just kidding. Eric, let me just ask you this in a real way. So here's J.J. Watt, right? I mean, he's off the field and in the booth, and it's nice to be a star like that. He sort of just jumps right in. Seriously, how much of being good at your job in the booth as a color commentator, do you just sort of have it? You have to. There's obviously a lot to learn, I'm sure, but do you feel like guys who are great at it, including yourself, if you wish, are just sort of natural most of the time? Or is it something where you've really got to grind to figure out how to do this well?
Well, if that truly was a compliment, thank you for saying that. But I think there is a natural aspect of it where you kind of have the gift of gab. You're comfortable on a mic. You have a sound knowledge of football. But you have to have a knowledge of football that you can relate to people. I always say, like, the best broadcasters can take their football 401 knowledge but present it in a way that it's football 101 for the listeners. Or if you're going to present the football 401 knowledge, can you explain it in a way that you just now made the audience smarter and not just completely lost them? And I think some people have a natural knack for that. I think Greg Olson does a great job of that. And oftentimes it's easier to do on TV because you can show them on a teleprompter. Yep. For me, on a radio broadcast, it's often those instances for me can often come in situations. Hey, the Bills are on the 45 here. It's 3rd and 4. If they run the football here and don't get it, Sean McDermott likely told Joe Brady before this play, you have two plays to get this first down. And so, and that might not be a perfect example of football 401 knowledge because that might not be that extreme. But, you know, early on with the, hey, Sean McDermott's calling a timeout here to create a snapshot, which the obvious thing would be, okay, we saw what they were in. Now I can coach up my guys. Sean also might be thinking, I might have just got them out of their top play call in this situation by calling a timeout in a critical situation where this defense is on the field. So a little bit easier to do on TV when you have a teleprompter to be able to explain, you know, maybe schemes and whatnot, which I can't necessarily do all the time on a radio broadcast. But to circle back on your original question, I think some guys have a knack for it, but it's certainly something you have to work at. And then I would say most, if not all, great color analysts have a great play-by-play guy. On the radio, I'm at the mercy of, you know, John Murphy and now Chris Brown. And luckily I hopped right in the booth with Murph, the consummate professional. And then in his absence, Chris Brown steps right in and picks up admirably and does a great job. So to me, you know, the Jim Nances, the Chris Fowlers in college football, those guys allow for a Tony Romo or a Kirk Herbstreit to transition into the booth a lot easier because they can set them up in ways to make them successful.
We don't have to stay here for much longer, but I'm enjoying hearing you talk about your process and making these points, Eric. One of the things I like about Watt, and not he's not the only exception. Jonathan Vilma, I think, was in the booth in the Spain game. So you've got, but a defensive guy, like a lot of guys doing your job are offensive players, you know, quarterbacks, linemen, offensive linemen. I just like from a defensive perspective, Watt's area of expertise, I just think it sort of sets him apart a little bit.
Yeah, oftentimes the offensive guys are smarter, and so yeah, they'll transition better into the booth. But no, I hear your point there, because they're going to see the field differently. And that's, you know, as an offensive lineman, no one wants to hear me talk about the pass rush every play. So I have to train my eyes, and over time it's become a lot easier to watch more of the ball or the secondary or the routes on the outside. That's going to speak into what most fans want to hear. Now, my expertise is line play and protections and, you know, maybe defensive schemes and how we would scheme a run play or a protection. And so I don't want to completely, you know, take myself out of that, because that's going to be some of my strong suits, but yep, also understand that most fans want to know about what's going on with the football, the pass game, you know, the playmakers out there.
I would just add to what one of the things I liked about J.J. Watt was when an announcer has the ability to zoom out, you know, not just play to play. This is what happened there. Here's what's happening now. But zoom out, like, what's happening in this game? And at one point, he yesterday was like, this is the Sean Tucker game. Like, somebody has to be, like, intelligent enough to, like, not always be fixated on how a team lined up or how they were able to execute a play, but just, like, back up. Collinsworth, I think, is good at this. Like, last night, when was it when he started to harp on, Goff ain't got it? Like, it wasn't that far into the game where he's like, this is not going to work. And I think an announcer is good to be able to do that, you know, to sort of take stock of the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, Eric, see, this spins nicely into the game, you making the comment about, you know, line play and, you know, blocking and the pass rush, because early in this game, you know, we came into the game knowing Todd Bowles and his reputation, and we know that the Bills have had, especially like in the Atlanta Monday night game, trouble with a team that is blitzing them, which is insane to think about, because Allen earlier in his career had just eaten, most of the great quarterbacks do eat the blitz alive, but they were having trouble with it. And then the game starts and you've got the two-handed chest heave from the end zone, and Allen explained after the game that I think he made a mistake and slid the protection the wrong way or something on that play, and that resulted in the pressure. Why have they been having, prior to, like, you know, the rest of the game, I think they did a good job handling it. What changed in that respect, and why have they been having, in your view, so much trouble with blitzes this year?
Yeah, I mean, from what, you know, I wish I was in the meeting rooms to be able to give you a better answer there, other than the fact that at times it seems like that the defense is getting us to where they're essentially fooling Josh on the protection. And you know, at times, Josh may want a free rusher to one side, and so he can beat him with the throw on a hot, just knowing that, you know, schematically, you shouldn't be able to do that if we have guys over here. So I'm going to slide it to where you should be coming from. Oh, you came from over here. I'm going to beat you with the blitz. I'm going to beat you with the ball on the blitz. And we just haven't seen that enough this year where we're, you know, making teams pay with those hot throws. And then, you know, I would say when, you know, defensive coordinators are scheming up the Bills, and what we've kind of heard is we're getting a lot of stuff that maybe they haven't shown on film, and they're saving it for the Bills, understanding that they're going to have to probably do some different things to slow down this offense. And, you know, you look at the Miami game a week ago and whatever, but as a whole, people have a tremendous amount of respect for this offense to where they're giving us some different things that maybe they haven't seen on film. Mm-hmm. So then early in the game, you have to get to the sideline and say, okay, this is a new look. This is something they haven't shown. We need to now be prepared for it in this instance. And hey, they got us, but let's not let them keep getting us with this.
So Eric, I think, you know, you would probably be aware, a lot of our days are spent, really, the conversation seems to always get to weapons, with the Bills and whether their offensive philosophy is right for a team trying to win a Super Bowl with this great quarterback. I'd say yesterday's game was largely a wet dream for those fans. If you know, the defense's performance notwithstanding, what do you think? Is this like the new Bills again, even without Coleman, Kincaid? Shakir goes 1 for -3. You really revamped what they're doing in terms of pass receivers and do so to the tune of 44 points. I know short week here, but does the meter move for you on their offense from yesterday?
I would say so. I think they just got into some different elements out there. When you have the running backs with over 120 yards receiving, okay, maybe we need to lean into them a little bit more in the pass game, and some, you know, two design screens for Ty Johnson, which we haven't seen many of those this year. You have the schemed play to James Cook for the touchdown off the play fake with the orbit motion, which we've seen them throw that swing screen out to the right so many times, and Josh goes back to the left and hits James Cook for an open touchdown on the wheel route. You know, with this cast that we have at, you know, the receiver position and in the pass catchers that we have on this roster, especially with Kincaid out and Shakir obviously in a bunch of pain yesterday, we were going to have to do schematically some different things where we got the running backs more involved, and then Josh had a couple off-script plays where he hits, you know, Shavers down the field, almost hit one to Curtis Samuel where it's a long play-action pass, and he's not open on the over route. He points him down the field, almost hit another long one there. And, you know, that might be what this Bills offense looks like. And when you have 17, you could win doing those types of things.
Yeah. Are you one to welcome Chaos Josh back to the party here? Because that yesterday was not, I wouldn't say it's like a, you know, museum quality, right? Like he had some misses. You just talked about one of the ones to Sam. It was a windy day too, in his defense, but it was kind of a funny game in that he scores, you know, he's responsible for 6 touchdowns, 3 rushing, 3 passing. You get these big chunk plays, a lot of guys on the stat sheet with 20 or more, 20 plus yard receptions in the game, which has been pretty rare for the Bills. But it comes with, you know, there's a couple of turnovers and there's a little harried Josh in there. But all in all, I think a net positive. How do you feel about, like, Chaos Josh being back?
I mean, you know, you got MVP Josh Allen at quarterback. At times, you're going to need to lean into that, especially when you looked at the way the run game wasn't effective early on. I think the ideal formula for this Bills team is a balanced attack, and that doesn't mean, you know, run the football 50-50. It's just a balanced attack with the offensive line you have with James Cook. But, yes, give me that type of Josh Allen, especially on a day where – the run game was struggling to get going in essentially a must-win game to keep somewhat of a pace with New England. And, you know, you got to stay in the wild card even if you can't catch the Patriots. And so, you know, at times you're going to need chaos. I like how you say chaos. You're not going to get me to start calling it Chaos Josh Allen. you know, that's just – I'll say vintage Josh Allen.
Okay, all right. Where, all right.
You know – yeah, I heard someone call that interception early on in the game, 2018 Josh Allen. But to me, Josh can do special things on a football field that not most can. And when the run game's not there, give me that guy out there making plays like that anytime.
This is pretty, you know, specific. There was one play where Deion Dawkins got called for a false start. And I'm not sure I'm right here. I wanted to ask you. So it looked like maybe he was just going to try to draw the edge rusher offside by quickly pointing, but he moved his leg.
Right.
So they called the false start on him. But could you just sort of, I mean, it's so like this now. Teams are just trying to game the rules constantly. But did you remember this play, Eric? And do you think that Dawkins was trying to get the, I think it was 3rd and 6 maybe, trying to get the 5 yards by just sort of like lifting up and pointing to the side just to try to see if he could get a reaction?
No, I think Deion flinched prior to that and realized he was likely going to get called. When he flinched, the defender jumped in the neutral zone, and so he pointed like, no, it was him. He right. made me jump off sides, but right. Deion okay. had flinched first.
Okay. That could be a move, though.
Yeah, he was trying to game the system.
That could be
there,
a move,
Eric. That's what the
Well, I'll say this. On the road, and we might have talked about this in the past, but on the road, I would handle the silent cadence. And so if it was on a double count, which might be 2 head bobs or me twist my head or whatever it may be, I would put my head down, pick it up, and right as I would normally snap the ball, I would take my left hand, which is not on the football, and say, Mike 52, and I'd point as fast as I could to try and get a guy to jump off sides. We were playing the Jets in 2014, the year before Rex Ryan came over, and I got – it was 3rd and 14, and I got the defensive line to jump 3 times in a row on that, and we get the first down. Me and Rex's first conversation in Buffalo in person, he asked me, how did you get them to jump 3 times? I got to know this. I tell him it was 3 different things. One was a yell. One was a point. And the third one, I, like, squeezed the ball with my right hand. Like, I just subtly flinched my right hand on the ball to get him to move. I got the nose guard on that. And Rex thought it was hysterical that I used 3 different tactics to get his defensive line to jump off 3 plays in a row.
Which of those 3 should have been penalties? The third one, right? I mean, I think I've seen centers dinged for that, like a
moving the ball subtly. Yeah.
But you can jerk your head up as fast as you want, and that's nothing?
So they try and police that pretty good. Now, I would go up to the officials before the game, and I would say, hey, if we're on the road, hey, have you seen our silent count on film? Whether they have or they haven't, they'll always tell you yes, because they don't. They either have seen it or they don't want to admit that they haven't seen it.
Right.
And so then I would say, okay, is there anything that stands out to you that could be a penalty? They generally say no, and I'd say, okay, make sure you warn me then if I'm coming up to.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Too fast, if I'm flinching or anything that you see to be egregious, it's just our cadence. So I don't want you to flag me without a warning, if that's all right. And they would generally work with me in those situations.
See, that's really good. You're gaining leverage just by asking that question about whether they've watched film.
I would do that with our alignments as well before the game. I'd go over to the officials and say, hey, are our tackles lined up correctly from the film that you've watched? Like, I'm building them up. I know you've studied for this game.
Yep.
Are our tackles in the proper positions? Yes. Okay, well, you tell me first if they're not. That way I can get them up on the line, receivers lined up on the line of scrimmage as well. I learned early on in my career that referees – are humans as well, and they want to be treated as well as we all do. And I thought I was Mike Krzyzewski early in my career yelling at officials, and I would get flagged all the time. And then I started having a different approach where I would know their names before the game. I would go up and introduce myself, explain situations like I just told you, and then all of a sudden I just got a lot more warnings. Hey, 70, watch that left hand. Oh, I gotcha. I'll take care of that for you.
Yeah, good.
I mean, savvy.
And you became a known player. I mean, you can't get away with this as a rookie so much as when you're 6-7 years in the league, probably.
Right. Speaking of 6-7
years. I didn't want to hear it from a rookie, for sure.
Yeah, 6-7 years in the league. Eventually, you became a leader on the Bills when you were playing, Eric. As someone who was in that kind of a role, this Keon Coleman situation, with him being benched for this game, we heard some tough comments from Deion Dawkins after the game about it's time to grow up. Your reaction to Coleman and how you think it might be handled internally from here?
Yeah, I mean, I saw Deion's comments, and I thought he handled it well. You know, the spotlight is on he needs to grow up. The conversation that he had prior to that was talking about, hey, I talked to him and told him we need him, and he understands that he needs to be better as well. You know, and, you know, those instances would happen with us. You know, we had guys that would be routinely late, and we'd have to say something and be like, hey, like, we're relying on you, and you're costing our team here by getting suspended or getting benched for a quarter or whatever it may be. I remember Marcel Darius got benched at one point for being late too many times. And, you know, you got to talk to him and say, look, you're costing all of us. This is costing you a bunch of money as well, and your reputation and potential future earnings and all that, but you're costing the team as well. And this isn't just about you here. And so, you know, it's a shame because this is a guy who we need to be a player. I mean, with the way that with as many guys as we have paid on this football team, we need our top draft pick from last year's draft to be a player for us. And these, we talked about it on the roundtable yesterday, and there's a quote that always sticks with me, and it's, how you do one thing is how you do everything. I don't know Keon Coleman as a person. From all indications, it seems like he's a really good dude, seems to have a fun, charismatic personality. But my perception of him right now is you're an unreliable teammate because you can't do the little things, so how do we rely on you on game day? And you have a fumble earlier this year against the Patriots, and you're not producing at a high level. And to me, it likely stems from a lack of accountability.
Eric, before you go, do you know how many sacks Myles Garrett is up to?
Ooh, I don't. I'm going to guess 14.
15 sacks in 10 games. So
I knew he had 4.5 the one game. It was like the first. He either had 4.5 or 5, and it was the most sacked by a player in a loss ever.
Right. He had 5 against Drake May. 3 weeks ago, he had 4 yesterday against Baltimore. So he's got 15 with 7 games left. The NFL record is 22.5. This is a record that they're going to be gunning for. The Bills are there in 5 games. I wonder if that ends up being the one. But, I mean, he's on a better pace than even that. He's going to smash the record on this pace. He's getting 3 in every 2 games. So, pretty. I mean, I don't know how many people are aware of that because Cleveland is so bad. But 15 sacks in 10 games. 9 in the last three.
Myles Garrett, I mean, I just have so much respect for him because he's the most talented player on the field almost every single week, and he also plays with an extremely high motor. That combination does not always happen. And at 6'4", 6'5", 290 pounds with his athleticism, I mean, he's a monster out there, and I'll give him credit because they have not put a ton of pieces around him, and it's a losing organization that doesn't have a lot of hope right now, and he's out there crushing it. You know, all that talk this offseason where he wanted to play for a winner and all that, you know, I guess I'm glad he's not on another AFC team, you know, that could be hurting our potential playoff chances, but that's a guy that would look really good in red, white, and blue.
It's time to go, but I'm going to force this in. Do you think Burrow comes back now at 3-7? Does he play ever?
I'll guess yes.
Okay, I think I would too.
I don't have any information on that.
Why wouldn't he? You know, well, I know why he wouldn't, but is that the kind of like a career threatening injury or something like that?
If he's recovered, you know, not rushing, you know, then I think you come and play
just for the better draft pick. They don't need to draft a quarterback, so I would bet that he does. Also,
yeah, and you got, you know, you're not necessarily worried about the turf toe re-injuring. You're worried about a lack of mobility and him getting crushed and something else costing him games for next year.
Right. Thanks, Eric. We'll talk Thursday.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. It's our man, Eric Wood, on the Western Hotline. His appearance on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer, shop at northtownkia.com.
We'll get Sal Capaccio's take on yesterday's Bills win, plus the injury news of the day after the update. The Sabres are home to Edmonton tonight, pregame at 6. We'll have time for your calls, too, between Sal and the pregame show. Mike Schoeb and the Bulldog here, WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.